It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. And that powerful truth can also be something that may not be the truth you were actually expecting when you gave birth to your little girl. In fact, my guest today probably uttered the words, "Oh, my beautiful baby girl," and no more loving words are ever uttered than those that a mother or a father says when they get to hold and see their newborn baby girl the first time. And all you have to do is really ask my guest, Christy Hanslick, and she'll tell you with a gleam and a tear in her eye, for more than one reason, why this has been quite the journey. Now, for those of you who caught last week's show, you know this is an extension of that show. This is the journey of coming into your transgender truth, a mother and son journey. But why would Christy have tears in her eyes? For her and her husband, Todd, the tears came from both joy and sadness. Joyful that their child, Jaden, that you already met, finally found himself, and sadness that what they once knew as their daughter was, for the most part, gone. In fact, in Christy's own words, it was like a death. So I want you to be ready, grab your tissues, get ready for the continuation of the ride as we explore the journey that Christy, Jaden, husband Todd, and brother and family have taken, as Jaden has come through the closet doors to become his beautiful transgender self. So, welcome to the podcast, Christy. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Oh, I am so glad to have you here. And I have to say, last week's episode with Jaden was one of my all-time favorites. He was such a great guest and such a beautiful kid. And I know I'm saying stuff that you probably heard 100 times, but you really rock and you've really done a wonderful job.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So we're going to try to keep the tears away. I know we may get there because this is a really emotional journey, but let's just kind of go in. They've already kind of heard Jaden's side of the story, and so now it's mom's turn. So did you ever really have an inkling as your baby girl was growing up that there was something definitely different going on for her?
As far as being different, yeah, she was a tomboy to the fullest extent. Would not wear dresses, hated pink. I pierced her ears at 5 weeks old, and they were out by 2 as soon as she realized that they were in. Lots of fights about clothing. But, you know, as she started dating, as she got older, she was so uncomfortable with her boyfriends. And my husband and I would just look at each other and just laugh and go, "Oh my gosh, this guy doesn't even have a chance."
Right.
And we just assumed that she was gay. Mm. So I didn't know what transgender was. I had my own thoughts about it that were pretty derogatory, I'm sad to admit.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have a word for it. Mm. So I lumped it all into gay.
Yeah. And I think this is very common. I mean, you do a lot of work right now with a lot of parents going through this journey. And I know when you and I have talked about this before, when this was happening for you, one of the frustrations was there wasn't a lot of information out there and a lot of how-tos on how for parents to go through there, was there?
There wasn't. There was a lot of very, very scary statistics. Mm-hmm. And that's not the life you want for your child. You have all these things that you think they're going to do, and then you find out that they could be killed or beat up or just horrific things. And so it's terrifying. It's a terrifying thing to find out.
Well, it's very terrifying, and I know in the work that I do, and for those of you listening, both Christy and I do a lot of work with PFLAG, and it's a beautiful advocacy organization, and one of the scary statistics is, and I'm going to pull from what I think is the newest I have, you probably have more because you do this work really closely, having have a transgender son. I want to say the statistic I've heard is 40 to 60% of transgenders end up committing suicide.
Yes.
A lot that when you take a population and you go, okay, for every 100 transgenders, that means anywhere from 40 to 60 of them will not survive. That's a huge number of our humanity that gets taken out of the population every year. So obviously that was probably something that was very scary for you, is will my child end up taking his, her own life? And of course then you had all of societal stuff. So what was really your biggest fear for your child at that time? Was it that she would take her own life, or that society was really going to be the problem?
Before she came out as transgender, it was the fear of her taking her own life. Mm-hmm. When he came out as transgender, it was more society taking his life.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, how long did it take you to get used to saying her and then him? That must have been like a struggle just to get those pronouns wrapped around your own tongue.
Well, I'll tell you what, it will be 3 years in October. Mm-hmm. And just the other day, Jill slipped out of my mouth. I still slip with a her or a she. We did an event at one of the local colleges about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And Jaden actually introduced himself as my daughter. So it's all very new for all of us. It takes time. And you just have to laugh at it and move on and let it be okay.
But I think that's a big testimony to anybody who's going through these journeys, and whether it's gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, is the more comfortable you get with it and allow yourself to say, it's just part of the journey. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to say some things sometimes that aren't quite right, but let's just roll with it. The more successful you're going to be. That's my perspective.
It's very, very important to do that. And I think what got me through Jaden's transition was his graciousness, was his ability to allow us as a family to make mistakes, to understand that we're not perfect and we're doing the best that we can. And we love him, and we want to do this, but we do slip up. Mm-hmm. And to have the graciousness to say, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's the piece that, being a gay man myself, I had a really hard time with my family and some friends, but mostly my family, not accepting me right out the gate and all this stuff. And I think the hardest part sometimes in our community is to give space to those who are receiving this new information about us. It's really hard to say, okay, I've been preparing for this, and now, guess what? This is who I am. Now you have to accept me and wrap your arms around me. Oftentimes, we're so excited about our own freedom and stepping into our truth that we forget now there's a whole tribe around us that hasn't had any time to prepare for this, and we need to give them space as well. And it sounds like that's exactly what Jaden did, was give you guys some space to really start to process.
Yeah, we always said that Jaden was on chapter 12, and we were still reading the foreword of the book. So, I mean, yes, he was super excited, and we're like, I don't know what to do with this information, and it's difficult, and society does need time, family does need time, friends need time. And so the one thing that Jaden and I decided when we both came out as him being transgender was that even though we're the ones going through it personally on that day-to-day basis, we have to be the bigger people. We have to be the more accepting and understanding than the people talking to us. And that really has helped us. You know, we don't lash out. We just take their information and know that they are uneducated and they don't know much about it. So some of their questions are going to come come across as kind of mean, but we have to be the bigger person and help them understand.
And I think that's such a valuable lesson, because it is about stepping aside and saying, okay, I know I've processed this, and it sounds like this is kind of where you've gotten to. I've now had time to process to a point as a mother. This is where we are. And now I'm going to give other people the same time to process. And that's what it means about being a bigger person. You know, is really allowing that space for other people to step into the journey with you. If you don't give them the space to step in their own way to the best of their ability, then it's still a forced thing that you're trying to make happen for them. And some people, as you probably have found, they will never step in with you. They will keep you at arm's length, and if they do, then that's where they are, and then you get to make the choice of, can you live with that, or do you just graciously say, then they're not going to be a part of my life? So I'm curious, have you experienced some loss of friendships, family, because of this transition with Jaden?
Yes. As far as friends are concerned, we've had some very, very great friends. As far as family, that's been very difficult. My father, in particular, has completely walked out of our lives. He thinks this is my fault, that I've done this to Jaden, and so he just blames me. And that's okay. That's his belief system, and that's what he needs to do. And I'm okay with that as well. You kind of come to grips with it. We have family that are scared to meet Jaden. They haven't met Jaden, and they're too terrified to see him. And that's kind of sad for me, because is it going to be easier when he's got a beard and he's 30 years old?
Right.
Or, you know, a year or two after transition? So as far as friends, you know, they can come and go. But family, that's a little harder to take.
Sure. Well, and I think the thing that you just hit on is fear is fear. And fear is, it doesn't matter where it's coming from, fear is so deeply seated in the unknown. People
Absolutely.
Just, you know, we all, I mean, I there's stuff I'm scared of on a daily basis. But once I learn and I educate and I get to see it through a lens, then I can make the choice if I want to still be in that fear. In reality, until you take the chance to step into the education, then of course you're going to be paralyzed by fear. You can't move forward. And I think for most of us that have done this work, you know, you and I do, like I said, a lot of work with PFLAG. That's probably one of the most common things that we see is many of the parents and families and friends that do show up to the PFLAG support meetings, they come out of fear of, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do. I don't understand. But the first step is saying, I don't understand. Please help me.
Exactly. Fear of the unknown is really big. And when you've never, when you think you've never met a gay person or a transgender, and I say that because we come across them in our daily lives. You just don't know it. We don't have signs on our head that say, hey, I'm gay, I'm transgender. So when they think they've never met someone, it's terrifying to them. They don't know what to expect. Are they different? They hear they're sexual deviants and they're perverts, and there's all these labels in society. So it is scary to meet someone that they think is like that.
Right.
So it's very scary. And then to find out that your child or your sister or your brother or your parent is one of those people, it makes you question every belief system in your life. And that's scary in itself.
Well, and I'm sure, you know, you brought this up about your father, that, you know, he kind of blames you. I would venture a guess, unless I'm really off base, that at some point you actually probably questioned yourself too. What did I do to cause this? What did I do to make my child this way?
I did question that for a very, very brief period of time. Statistically, there's so much information out there that shows that I did nothing wrong.
Right.
I had a baby.
Exactly.
And we all know that the genitals in a fetus,
it's okay, take your time.
The genitals in the fetus develop before the brain.
Right.
In a fetus. So you never know what can happen in that process. I always say that my son was born with a vagina. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth of it. Yeah. He developed a vagina in the womb before his brain caught up to say, no, I'm a boy. Mm-hmm.
And this is a really tough concept for people to grasp. And I think this is a perfect time for us to have the discussion around gender identity versus sexual orientation. Because it doesn't matter whether the vagina or the penis develops first, it's what happens when that mind develops that really is the key for those who are transgender, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a biggie. So from a mother's perspective, now that you've really begun to understand this and get it, give the mom's perspective of what is sexual orientation versus gender identity.
Sexual orientation is who you're attracted to. Mm-hmm. And that happens on the playground in second grade. You yeah. pretty much know who you think is cool or cute or whatever.
Right.
You know that from a very, very early age. So that's your sexual orientation. That's not a choice. That's just who you're attracted to. For me, I'm attracted to men with dark hair. Mm-hmm. I'm not a blonde guy kind of girl. So, yep. if I can put it in that perspective.
Yeah, exactly. I'm right there with you, girlfriend. They got to be dark and furry for me. So there you go.
Yeah, we all have our preference.
Right.
That's our sexual preference. As far as gender identity go, it's how we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we know our gender between the ages of 3 and 5. So it's not something that you just decide later on. It's right. something that's in you, and you come to a realization of it at a very young age. And so I knew I was a girl. I would not like to be a boy. That's my gender identity. I identify as a female.
Yeah.
I like to have boobs, and that's my thing. For people sure. with transgender, they look in the mirror, and for my son, he's wanting this big, beautiful, pecked out chest and a hairline going mm-hmm. down his stomach. He wants a beard. And when he looks in the mirror, he's got this soft baby face, and he's got these big boobs, and it doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. It's like looking at someone else in the mirror constantly, and it's confusing.
Yeah. Well, and Jaden shared so beautifully, you know, his first experience with his breasts and the whole Victoria's Secret visit and all that, and how it just, it was so hard for him because that's not who he knew he was within himself. It just wasn't him. And I think that's a really... It's sad, but not sad like, oh my God, that's horrible. It's just, it's sad because to struggle with that sort of a feeling as a child, you know, let alone as adult. I mean, if you were an adult and suddenly this started happening, you may have a little more wherewithal to deal with some of this stuff. But a child that's suddenly like looking around the playground going, but I want to look like that. I want to look like him, and I look like this. You know, it's got to be just heart-wrenching. And so as you started to see Jill at that point, you know, going through the tomboy stage, did you see any stuff that really was heartbreaking to you about how she was interacting socially, or was she just really, in your mind, the tomboy, and this is just what the tomboys do?
I was pretty oblivious.
Yeah.
That it was just the tomboy thing. She played flag football and basketball, and we had no girls on the street. She hung out with the guys. She was comfortable with the guys. Mm-hmm. The Victoria's Secret thing is probably one of my biggest regrets, and I just want to point that out. Had I known. I mean, I wanted so badly for her to be comfortable in her own skin, and I wanted to help her feel so feminine, because you could just see the uncomfortableness in her body and the questions of if she's developing right. And I thought, gosh, if I got her a beautiful bra and matching panties, and
right.
that would be so feminine and make her feel so good. And it was just so humiliating for him. And I regret that, but I've gotten over it, because honestly, you don't know what you don't know. And that's the biggest thing I've learned, is I can't go back. I can't change anything. No. I didn't know.
And what I think is so beautiful about what you just said is what you just said is going to hopefully help someone else each time you get to say that. because what you don't know, you don't know. But now, the work you're doing, the life you're living, the speeches and the shares that you guys do in schools and universities and wherever you get the opportunities is about helping someone else go, oh, I get this. I truly get this. And because our society, and I'm going to say something that a lot of people go, no, that's not true, but our society has come accustomed to the gay lesbian conversation. I didn't say they endorse it. I didn't say we're all the way there yet, but it's become much easier to have. The transgender movement is where the gay lesbian movement was 30, 40 years ago. It's just now becoming part of the dialogue. It's part of the conversation. And each time we get to do something like a podcast like this or stand on a stage and talk about this, some other mother or father or child will not have to say, my biggest regret, my biggest regret. And at the time, you were doing exactly what any normal mom would do. How can I help my child feel better about themselves, right? That was the whole intent of it. So I think it's interesting to watch what's happening. So I happened to be speaking at a high school a couple of days ago with PFLAG, and we had a transgender member of our community on the panel. And it's very interesting to watch students these days, because one of the questions we always bring up is, okay, how many people in the room know gay or lesbian? And it used to be we'd get a handful of hands that went up. Now it's pretty much the whole room, you know, raises a hand saying. But then when we ask the transgender question, we're back to a handful of people raise their hands. Mm-hmm. So we're in this conversation, and the teacher had told us that this group of students was very forward-thinking. And I thought, okay, well, we'll see. We'll see how forward-thinking they are. I have to say, and I'm not going to say which city this was in, but it was definitely in a more conservative city in lovely California. I have to say I was very amazed by a question a student asked of our transgender on the panel. And it showed how far we're coming very quickly and how our younger generation is able to process and be truthfully in their own thought processes. And when this young man raised his hand and said, I have a question for Christine. And he goes, this is a really hard question for me to ask, but you guys said we can ask you anything. And if you don't want to answer, you won't. But he goes, I just really need to know, do you have a vagina or a penis? And I wanted to stand up and give that kid a standing ovation, because that told me how comfortable that child was in trying to get educated about something that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even present day, could be considered really taboo to ask a question like that. And I was just so impressed. I was blown away.
And I agree with you on a part of that aspect, but on another aspect, you know, Jaden gets asked that quite a bit.
I'm sure he does.
And to me, it's a little bit offensive because I don't ask you how big your penis is.
Exactly.
Really, what's in your clothes is really no one's business.
Yeah.
And so it is a little bit offensive to ask someone. I know you were in a forum where that was allowed. But in day-to-day, I just want to clarify that that is really offensive to someone.
And that's exactly why I'm sharing this, because I wanted to get into the conversation of some of the stuff to help educate people on what's, I hate to use the word appropriate or politically correct, but what are some of the things that really can help a transgender feel comfortable by not asking? So I know a couple of them. One I just demonstrated. I would never ask that question because it isn't any of my business. No, like you said, it's no more your business to know how big my penis is than me to know what size bra you wear. It's none of my business. Yeah. So I know that's one of the questions that would never happen. I know for some transgenders, the other question that a lot of them will not answer because it's very painful is, what was your name prior to transition?
Yes. Now, I
noticed that Jaden's seems very comfortable because when I interviewed him, it came up at least, I think it came up once, and maybe it had been in the pre-interview too, but I didn't get that sense. I also noticed when I was on this panel that Christine went between Christine and Chris several times. So I think it's very personal how that affects people. Is there anything else that you could contribute that, you know, what in your experience that transgenders really don't want to talk about that would be respectful if it wasn't asked of them?
I think we hit the top two that I've noticed are just no-nos. Mm-hmm. Just don't ask that.
Right.
Jaden and I are very open about who he was, but it's very common for... Jaden is not a common transgender person. Christine is not a common transgender
exactly.
person. Most people who are transgender live as stealth. Mm-hmm. And what that means is they're not out. They're not educating. They are just trying to get through this painful transition to being who they are and want to do it quietly with no questions asked. Mm-hmm. So if they're open to you asking questions, that's one thing. But just to, you're transgender, well, let me ask you, blah, blah, blah. You know, you want to be very, what would you want to be asked,
right.
I guess? If someone were asking you questions, would you want people to ask what's in your pants?
Right. Well, I'll go there as a gay man. You know, it would be like somebody going, oh, you're a gay man, so are you the bottom or the top? You
mm-hmm.
know? What difference does it make? What difference does it make how I like to have sex with my partner or my husband? It's no different than, okay, so, well, Christy, how do you and your husband like to have sex? It's just you wouldn't ask those questions. I mean, it would be rare that you would ask those questions. Maybe in close friendships you would. But, you know, it's those things that, you know, it is kind of politically correct and appropriate things to ask of people in those scenarios. It's kind of similar. I think when I interviewed Ryan Salins, who is also a transgender man, and he wrote a book. I'm trying to remember his book name. I interviewed him years ago. One of the things he told me was, if you see a female that you suspect may be transgender male, but you kind of look at them and you can still tell that there may be some breasts there, it would not be appropriate to say, so have you had top surgery yet? You know, or what degree of surgery or transition are you in? You leave that for them to really say, if they will say they're transgender. And I think that's another part of this conversation. A lot of them, as you said, like to be stealth. So at this point, I know Jaden well enough that I, you know, outside of the realm of this show, I would, and on panels, but if I was walking down the street with Jaden somewhere and we were going out for an evening with, you know, his girlfriend or you guys as a family, I would introduce him. This is my friend Jaden. I wouldn't say anything else. This is my friend Jaden, and I've known him for, you know, a year or two, and boom. I wouldn't have to put the qualifier in, oh, this is my friend Jaden, the transgender guy. Wouldn't be
exactly.
necessary.
And I don't introduce myself as a heterosexual woman either.
Right, exactly.
I'm just Christy.
Exactly. And I'm just Rick. So
exactly.
High five. We know we'd be fine going out together. I'm Rick. That's Christy. You have a problem? Out of here. We don't need you. So...
I do want to go back to the surgery question.
Yeah.
That is another question that it just goes along the same lines of, it's really none of your business if someone has taken hormones or if they're doing surgery or if they're planning to have surgery or if they got a penis already
mm-hmm.
or if they got a boob job or whatever the case may be. It's just not appropriate. You don't go up to a woman who's obviously had a boob job and start talking about her boob job.
Exactly.
You just don't.
No.
And so why it's acceptable, people find it acceptable to ask transgender people those questions that they would never ask someone who is heterosexual, is beyond me. It's
yeah.
just common courtesy as human beings from one human being to another that you just don't ask those personal questions.
No. And what I always love about when I am working with my transgender brothers and sisters on panels is they will pretty much set up the boundaries by how they're expressing their stories. You know, some of them will say, so, you know, especially the transgender females, they will say one of the hardest parts of my transition was the electrolysis to get the hair off my face. So it gives an indication of what they've gone through. Others will go all the way. So, yeah, when I went through the transition, you know, I went fully through the transition. I had upper and lower surgery. I've had the electrolysis. But I think that's when you know you have the permission to explore with them. And
yes.
that's, you know, let them guide. I think it's no different than, I say I'm a gay man, but unless I give you any other information, you're kind of off limits to ask any other questions.
Absolutely.
You can ask stuff that's like, oh, really? So how long have you and your, you know, boyfriend been together or your husband? Okay, those are, you know, those are normal. Those are normal questions we would ask each other as heterosexuals. Oh, really? How long have you all been together? You know, it's not how many times have you guys, you know, screwed doggy style over the last week. No, we don't ask those questions. Maybe certain friends we would, but, you know, other than that, no, we don't go there. So, but I don't have to go here. I want to go here just for a minute because you shared something really beautiful with me when we talked before we did this interview. What was the hardest part for you?
The hardest part for me, and I'll probably tear up.
That's okay.
I think the hardest part for me was watching my daughter slip away. Mm-hmm. You have this beautiful child, and you know that she's going away, and you have to prepare yourself for that. Mm-hmm. And you see her slipping. It's like your child. For me, when Jaden told me that he was transgender, it was as if someone, like Jill, just walked out. She was gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking, he had started a new school in August, and by October, on a Wednesday, he had cut his hair, bound his breasts, and went to school the next day as Jaden. It was that quick. Wow. So my daughter left, and it was as if someone just handed me this kid and said, here, take this kid instead. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I don't even know if I like him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I love him. I'm embarrassed to be around him. He's awkward. He looks funny. He's got this funky Justin Bieber haircut. You know, I mean, it was losing her so quickly and then seeing parts of her, and they just diminished and diminished until I would say in the last month, I can't see any part of my daughter left. Mm-hmm. She's gone. Mm-hmm. The hormones have taken its hold enough that she's gone. And so to watch that slowly go away was really difficult for me. Mm-hmm.
But I have to give you some big kudos right now because of what you just shared, because it shows how truthful and honest you can be to help other parents and other people going through this. We're all humans. This is not going to be easy if it happens for any of us, no differently than if cancer hits any of us. We're going to have those moments that we're going to feel, why the hell is this happening to me? What's going on with my kid? What happened to that person I knew? We're all going to go through it because we're human. It's part of our human experience. It's part of our human way of being in this world. And mm-hmm. for you to just so beautifully share, this was my raw truth. I was angry and I didn't know, and I didn't know I was going to like it. Of course, I was laughing and internally going, well, welcome to teenage boyhood, Mom, because you don't know who that crazy guy is. It's like one day he's like the little boy and suddenly he's this moody, grumpy, you know, styling guy trying to be Mr. Hip. And it's like, okay, where the hell did you come from? You know?
Yep.
But it's like, really, as you were talking about, it's like, okay, so one day she had this beautiful little girl and the next day you woke up and boom, teenage boy.
Ah, the pants were sagging. The walk was different.
Right. And
it was horrible.
But here's the thing that I want to bring into this conversation too, is you had been through this because you have another son.
Yes.
So Mom had actually had practice. Okay. But it doesn't matter because even though you've had practice, every kid is different. And it just so happens that the kid that was different, in your case, was very different and had to help the whole family wake up to, this is who I really am.
Yes.
So no amount of practice will prepare you for this.
There's not. When she came out, or he came out, I laid in bed for 3 weeks straight. Mm. I mean, I didn't even have the strength to roll over. I just sobbed. I didn't even know what I was crying about. I was just so devastated and confused and terrified. And, you know, I just told our whole family that she was a lesbian 8 months before. Mm-hmm. And now I've got to say, oh no, just kidding. Mm-hmm. She's a boy. Mm-hmm. And that was terrifying for me. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of emotions that go through your head at that point.
Sure.
Because you don't know yourself. I wasn't educated. What was I supposed to tell them when I didn't even know?
Right.
And that's what was so difficult too.
Okay. And this is a key point for anyone listening. How do you know what to tell someone else when you don't know yourself? This is the scare. Talk about the fear. That's where real fear is. Because you can't help advocate when you can't advocate yourself. You can't do it. And then suddenly, because these things start to happen so quickly, your child comes out and then they're ready to tell everybody. And for me as a gay man, when I came out at 38, I was like, holler, here we go. I'm so happy to be free. But what I didn't really get at that moment was, okay, I got it about my wife. Yes, I realized this was really screwing up her life. But there were other people I'm like, you know what? This is me. Go with it. And it's too hard because those people have to go figure out how to medicate this. Literally medicate it. I mean, don't take pills, but you have to medicate by getting educated to go through this.
Yes.
And for so many people, and if there's any parents, family, friends listening to this that are like, I'm really struggling with this, guess what? Welcome to the family. You're not alone. You're not alone by any stretch of the imagination.
And I want to touch on that a little bit. Because of my fear, I didn't reach out. Mm-hmm. And I did go through this alone. And if I could talk to any parent out there, I would say, don't go through this alone. Find a support group. Find a therapist. Find someone that you can confide in. Mm-hmm. Some of my fears of not confiding in people was I had friends who had gay kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try and talk to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, I totally get it. And it's like, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was difficult because I didn't know of other transgender parents out there. And so I felt very alone, and I felt like no one would understand if I talked about it. So it was better to be quiet.
Yeah.
It was better to just try and deal on my own. And there are people out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. There's lots of support groups.
Lots of support groups.
Reach out. You do not have to go through this alone. Right. It's a terrible journey alone.
It
I've been there,
journey.
Done that.
Right. And I want to make this point that when this interview goes up on my website on the show page, I will have some links to some transgender and support groups so that everybody can really get the help they may need. And please don't try to go through this alone. And that's advice for anything. As a coach, you know, I work with lots of people from lots of different, you know, walks of life. In fact, I was just working with an entrepreneur on his business, and he said, you know, the best thing I ever did was pick up the phone and call you to get some help, even though I'm a really smart guy, is just getting the help to sort something out. He goes, I've been holding this all in, you know, for so long. And he's just building a business. That's a, you know, a bitch in and of itself. But, you know, to hold anything in and to think, okay, nobody out there really gets me. No, that's not true. Nobody can fully understand somebody else's experience because we're all unique. But there's sure a lot of the pieces of the puzzle we can all help each other get through. And to say, oh my gosh, I got to go do this alone is not true. It's not true whatsoever. So I've got just one real question that I think will help people all along in this journey. What do you think the real key that's kept you, your son, your husband, your other son, your family, what's been the key that's kept the glue together for you guys?
Communication.
Yeah.
We talk a lot. We talk about our feelings. We talk about what's going on. Jaden talks a lot about the changes 20,000 times a day. There's
sure.
a new hair there, you know, and we just celebrate that as a family. But if we didn't have the communication, if I wasn't able to tell Jaden, you know what, I'm really hurting today, I can't talk about it. If he wasn't able to say, Mom, no, I can't talk about Jill, I can't look at the pictures of Jill. If we weren't able to communicate that and be honest with each other, I think a lot of resentment would have built up and things could have fallen apart very easily. But communicating, ask your child, what's going on with you? How are you feeling? Because we don't know.
Right.
And you don't know what's going on inside their head. Yes, they're celebrating, but for Jaden, there was a lot of body dysphoria. I have heard clothing hit walls. I have had to hold him down while my husband took the mirrors out of his room. I've woken up to bloody sheets because he's self-harmed. There's so much that we don't know that goes on in our transgender families' daily lives. Right. We see them on the outside. We see them for snippets of time. But what goes on in the family and what goes on personally on a daily basis is very, very difficult. And being able to have a safe space in your home and having that communication and that openness really helps the journey. It eases the pain a lot.
I agree. I think that communication and that undying love of we're going to get through this, you know, that ability to say we are family and somehow we will pull through this together. And as you were talking just now, one of the things that, you know, kind of rolled through my head was you can't even begin to fathom how the littlest thing can be said and it takes you right back to the pain. And I was out to dinner last night with some friends, and as I walked in to the restaurant, a gal was walking pretty close to me. I didn't know her. We walked in, and I walked up to the desk and I said, I need to get a table. And the gal at the desk said, oh, for you and your wife? And that sort of stuff doesn't make me mad, but it takes me places that, you know, it's that little comment. You know, I can only imagine for my transgender brothers and sisters and, you know, someone like Jaden, that what it must feel like to know that people may look at you and go, you look a little different. I don't know what it is. And then once they kind of know, then they go to all those crazy places like, well, so does that mean you like boys or do you like girls or, you know, do you have a penis? It's like you know, because you're living this is what humans are going to do. They're going to go for, you know, give us the real dirt. You know, and it's got to be really hard. And very, so, you know, that part of having the safe place and having places where you can communicate and be open is the best medicine for everyone concerned. Everyone to be able to voice their concerns, their opinions, their perspectives. So before we wind things up here, Christine, first of all, I can't wait to give you a really big hug when I see you the next time for just you and Jaden both
being me too.
Fabulous, wonderful, you know, people on my Coming Out Lounge podcast, because it does my heart really good, and I have goosebumps even as I'm saying this right now, to know that I'm able to start to share this kind of message with the world as well. It's so important. But this is the Coming Out Lounge, and as someone who's gone through her own coming out, if you could give, and I know you've given tons of advice already, but if you could give someone who's struggling with this coming out to be a transgender or the parent of a transgender, what would you like to leave the listeners with?
You don't have to understand to love.
Okay, that's what I call one of those Oprah tweet moments. You don't have to understand to love. Okay, I'm going to send that to Miss Oprah, actually. That's really powerful and that's really beautiful. And I do really appreciate the time that both you and Jaden have taken out to help me break down some new frontiers with the Coming Out Lounge. I really appreciate it.
Can I also mention one last thought on that, that I want people to know, is that for people that are transgender, there is no cure for being transgender except transition. Mm-hmm.
That's so huge.
I really want people to understand that.
And I want to add on to that, and I'm not transgender. I don't have a transgender child. I actually don't have a dog in this race other than I have my transgender friends. And you don't have to understand the degree of their transition for them to be transgender. You just have to let them be who they are.
And they are human.
And they are very much human.
And that's all you
need. Very much human. Yeah, as we all are. And with that, I want to say if you've gotten something, and I'm sure you have gotten something from this conversation today, and it's moved you and it's given you some education that maybe you didn't have, or you're struggling with this transition yourself and needing to come out, If this has really been of some help to you in some way and you found it valuable, we would always appreciate you giving us some love on iTunes or Stitcher or any of the places you might pick up the Coming Out Lounge. And if you really need some help, I'm going to give you my website. It's at Rick Clemons, rickclemons.com, C-L-E-M-O-N-S.com. pflag.org is another really beautiful place. You can find chapters all over the country. Just go to pflag.org. You may even find one locally. Christy is from Temecula, California, and she has a thriving chapter there. So hop on over onto those places and see if you can find some help. Also, when you go to the website, you will see that I put some resources on the page from this show. And if you loved what you heard and you want to give us some bigger love, go ahead and give us a few little tweets over at Rick Clemons on Twitter and use the hashtag The Coming Out Lounge. And I have to say, this has been a really special show for me. And I usually end it with, you know, we want to challenge you to step out, step up, and step in to living your powerful truth. But I think I'm going to take Christy's words and just repeat them one more time. You don't have to understand to love. And that goes for everyone. Until next time, have a wonderful, wonderful day of your life. I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, and I'll see you next time on the Coming Out Lounge.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemons. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.